This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Hey, Zeit Gang, before we get to the episode, we want to take a moment to address the June 24th, 2022 Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. And this decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions.
Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans.
You can learn more right now by visiting choice.crd.co. That's choice.crd.co. If you're able to support others, please consider donating to abortion funds by going to donations4abortion.com.
We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word.
Also, a big thank you to Ariel Nissenblatt of the Earbuds Pod Collective for putting this together, because this is a just monumentally important message to get across to all podcast listeners. Thanks.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 243, episode 2 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, June 28th, 2022, which means, Miles.
Oh, June 28th, 2022? I know what it do. It's National Logistics Day.
Yes.
Also, National Paul Bunyan Day. Mm. So shout out to fucking
those
white
two.
People myths.
Yeah. Logistics Day. Who needed that? Who is passionate enough about logistics that they thought we need to stop and appreciate these
I mean, hey,
things.
With all the supply chain issues, you know, and maybe yeah, like now you care about logistics, huh? Okay. Not just June 28th every year. But yeah. Paul Bunyan.
Well, I've been corrected.
I feel like at the old shitty Universal tour, there was like a Paul Bunyan, like just statue. And I was like, what the fuck? This isn't even from a fucking movie. Like, why is this here?
It's from Fargo, maybe? Is that?
No, this shit was like, I remember seeing
Paul
that shit
Bunyan?
In the 80s.
The giant who had the ox?
Yeah, with the big blue ox. Babe, mm-hmm. The blue ox.
Yeah. Much whatever, more interesting. Anyway. Talk about a sidekick that outshines the star.
You know? Right. They're like, yo, look at that big dude. It's like, yeah, man, Paul Bunyan, what's up? It's like, no, wait, what's up? Whoa, what's that blue ox?
There's two weird things about that ox, I'll tell you what.
Right.
Anyways, My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the Thirst Baja Blast and the Blast Chalén Thirst, basic instructions before drinking surf. And that is a Baja Blast-themed basic instructions before leaving Earth thing that I just thought of as I was gazing upon. They have Baja Blast and bottles on store shelves right now. Also, Baja Gold. And Baja Mango Gem, which I
oh my god, you just picked up. He just flashed all of those on screen.
I got three flavors of the blast that I will be taste testing to distract me from our crumbling country, and I will be letting you know how they taste. Does Baja Gold really taste like Baja Gold? I don't like weed.
This is like the slightly smarter version of Idiocracy, where the Baja Blast taste test isn't to like distract from like the thing and not talk about it, but be like, to deal with our crumbling it nation, I will now be taste testing Baja Blast.
Like, to get through the conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, aka the Lord of Lankershim, who's twisting up crazier than Hideo Nomo himself. Call me Hideo Noho. And a new actual nickname, I will call myself Tasip Kweli, because I can't help myself but partake in the blast, because I bought a 12 pack of Baja Blast. Y'all, I drank three before bed last night.
Miles,
it's because it's
supposed to drink it before
it's
bed.
Hot.
Man.
I don't have my AC on because like I have like old. Sometimes I keep it off and I'm like, fuck, it's hot. Like, let me crack over another Baja Blast. And that, again, was the only thing.
Oh, right. Because you are, like, the most caffeine-insensitive person.
Oh, yeah. That has nothing to do
in the history of the universe.
That might as well be Dimetap PM. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna do shit.
I feel like they wouldn't even put that in a Baja Blast commercial. Someone, like, slamming one and then, like, going off to sleep. I feel like that's not on brand. But
that is not blast behavior, for sure.
For sure. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant storyteller who is the lead creative strategist for Salted Logic, working in everything from fine art to technology to academia to conservation. It's Hina Wilkerson!
Hina!
What's up?
Lovely to be back, guys.
Lovely to have you back. How are you doing?
I've had better days.
Mm-hmm.
I've had better weeks.
Yeah.
Lots happening, and I feel I'm sad, and I'm desensitized, and I'm horrified, and I'm not shocked, and I'm all of those things at one time.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the most unsettling, like most fucked up place to be, where you're like, I've burned out a lot of my other receptors, and I'm also expecting that I'm going to be just terribly disappointed. That's what really fucks it up too. Yeah.
I feel like on TikTok especially, there's a lot of white women that are making references to The Handmaid's Tale and saying things like, "May the Lord open. Can you believe I'm wearing my red coat and blah blah blah?" And it's like, girl, we've been here.
Yeah, you know, like
we've been knowing. So welcome.
Yeah.
I have empathy, but babe.
Yeah. I'm like, you just got to the party. Oh, okay. So the flyers just got to your part of the neighborhood.
Relax, girl. We're going to be here for a while.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't, the bar never closes.
For real. Oh, man.
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to ask the Democrats what's the plan? We knew this was coming for months. Where are we at? What are some things that can be done? Also, the Supreme Court hits just keep coming. We got the prayer at a public school basically being all right. And I think it underlines this thing about like white Christian cis men are like so horny to be the one thing they can't be in America, which is like oppressed for being Christian and men. And so I want to talk about that a little bit because it ties into the Supreme Court ruling. We're going to talk about some leaked Amazon memos. But before we get to any of that shit, Hina, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Thank you for asking, because I truly did go into the history. This is not for the bit. This is true. Christine Brown interviews Sister Wives 2022. I don't know if you're familiar with the TLC show Sister Wives,
okay.
But it's about Cody Brown, the patriarch of a fundamental Mormon family. And they've had a TLC show for 17 years. And recently one of their wives is saying, I'm done. Cody, you're an asshole. I'm through with this. And so when the world explodes and I can't look at that drama, some people move back and they do yoga or they take a break. Mm. I want to lean in. But I want to lean in to some meaningless shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can't read the news,
yeah.
But I do want drama. I do want tea.
Mm-hmm.
But just make it about this Mormon white woman. And then I spend hours and hours looking into, has she done any interviews? What's she up to now? She has a hobby. She has a cooking show. She lost a lot of weight. Christine's doing great.
So is she doing SponCon? She living that influencer life or what?
Yeah, well, their whole life is being Mormon and having this show, but now she has a show called Cooking with Only Christine. Ooh. A little dig at her.
Oh, with only
the only
with only literally that's in the fucking title.
Wow,
with just right. Christine.
That's what I came for. Right?
She said, "Look, bitches, I've been done. You stay with that man with the balding head, but I'm through."
I'm the only Chris with only Christine over here.
Just Christine.
It's wild. You know, it's funny how so many people, myself included, when you are so engaged with the news and current events and have to really be analytical and think critically about it, day in and day out, so many people retreat to garbage reality TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild how I'm seeing this too. I bring up Cerise Castle, who, you know, just won, I believe, just received an award for her reporting on gangs in the LA Sheriff's Department, who's one of the most brave journalists I've ever seen, constantly dealing with death threats and stuff. And then I'm talking about 90 Day and I get DM hey, man, I want to come on the podcast, talk about 90 Day Fiance. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm over here thanking you for your work. And you're like, I love 90 Day. And I see how it's pretty much the opposite of what it means to be engaged, is to just engage.
That's
with
the reality I want to be in. You know what I mean? Right. It makes the world look so two-dimensional and it's comforting and you can just accept the vision of the world they're giving you and you're great, no notes. This is perfect.
Right.
You're right. Exactly. You should move back to Utah, Christine. Cody is an asshole. Yes. That's all that matters.
Wait, back to Utah? She wasn't in Utah?
Yes. Ooh. So they fled Utah because they were criminalizing it and went to Las Vegas and lived in this cul-de-sac with these four houses, they all have this whole family cul-de-sac. And then they moved to Arizona for some reason. But Christina, she's feeling her heart being drawn back to Utah because it's not a crime anymore. And she wants to live her truth. But I think she's going to move into monogamy. So,
okay.
Wow. All right.
Okay, Christina.
Yeah, I've spent days. So my life is 100% Christine.
When I Google Sister Wives, I get autocompletes of season 17. So this has been going on for a while. Sister Wives.
Oh, yes. I think they have 25 kids.
Right. Since the days of Big Love.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of babies, you know.
I mean, I feel it came on the heels of Big Love almost.
Got it.
I don't think I've ever seen Big Love.
Oh,
it was
an
HBO prestige show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was about a similar scenario with three connected homes with very different, I think, three wives, right? And then Bill Pullman?
Yep.
Yeah, nailed it. I'm getting so good. I don't think I've misidentified a Pullman Paxson in a while. So my training has paid off. I think I just said his name wrong, but
I think it is. It's Paxson, isn't it?
Paxson. Yeah. Paxson. I said Paxson he's Jim or John.
The one who passed away, right? Oh, yeah. See, Big Love came out 2006. Sister Wives season 1, 2010.
There it is. Mm.
I felt like that was that sort of brought in the conversation. We're yo, we can, there's the real life version up the street we can talk about.
What about this reality show? Why this instead of 90 Day Fiance?
Yeah, thank you. This has the hard question.
I think that 90 Day Fiance feels too gimmicky and it's almost too easy for me to understand. I get getting to a place in your life, not that this applies to everybody, but you're sad and you just want something exciting and wouldn't it be crazy to marry someone from another country and bring them over and you just want to be messy.
I
get that feeling. I can connect to it. I was there 2 weeks ago. Sister Wives, right? Where they all have this religious aspect and they've all been together for so long. And then you have the new wife, Robin, who like is clearly the favorite, and he's spending all this time with her because they have young children. And then the three wives were like, oh, no, I'm so okay with this. I don't even like spending every night with my husband because actually I'm like, I have all these hobbies. And then they like get so deep into like, and it's this huge like sunk cost fallacy, right? They have all these fucking kids. It's all intertwined. Once you're unhappy, what do you do at that point? And in the last interview, Christine says that she was like thinking about renovating, and she was like, well, we'll put our room on the opposite side of the house so we can have some intimacy. And then she asked Cody, like, do you even think we'll need that anymore? And he's like, nah, not really. I mean, you can just put the house, like put the rooms anywhere. Oh. And she was like,
he didn't even like take that as the very clear, just like, a no look. Do you even need that shit anymore, man? And he was like, instead of being like, what do you mean? Oh my God, babe, of course we still need it. What?
Babe, exactly. Three, of course I love you, number three.
And even in my darkest days, I don't think I could ever do that much mental gymnastics, knock on wood. But like, they're all participating in this like kind of shared delusion. Oh, I fucking love it. It's like more nuanced. Yeah. 90 Day Fiancé is too simple.
Right, because 90 Day Fiancé, very easy to wrap your head around like the interpersonal drama. This takes like interpersonal drama and then puts like a seven dimensions on top of
it. Right. There's like Heavenly Father, and then they're all like, they're white and from Utah, but now they're in Las Vegas. Like,
Stifling, actually communicating your needs to a partner every time. Yeah, I feel it.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
I'm going with Amazon reviews. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I feel like, there are certain people in the world we need. We need people to make compilation videos on YouTube. We need people to write reviews. Like, they're the backbone of society, and I'm certainly not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Amazon reviews at this point are either A, paid for by a company, 5 stars, it's the best product ever, no notes, or B, it's people who are like egregiously lying to get their review on one of those like craziest Amazon review lists. And so they like make up this elaborate lie about like, I ordered this grill for my son and it came with all these bullet holes on the side and I've had paranormal activity ever since. And it's just like, it's like a complete lie.
Right.
And so now it's like, it's not even fucking helpful anymore. The first top result is like,
Somebody found physical proof that an afterlife does exist, I'd probably learn about it in an Amazon review. That's probably where it would first show up.
That's where the CIA initially had the reports about the aliens. They're like kind of soft launch it on Amazon reviews.
See how that revelation does on Amazon first. Weather balloon that real quick. But it is wild. Like, I realize now, you're right. Like, I never look at the Amazon reviews, but I didn't really consciously think there's too many glowing reviews, because there are times, like, you know, when I would use Prime much more like frequently when I was less disturbed by Jeff Bezos, like where I'd be like, yeah, man, sure, that fucking power cable sounds good. And it comes and this shit like busts in 3 seconds. But you get sort of hypnotized by the amount where it's like, dude, 7,000 reviews on it and it's 4.5. That's got to mean something. Well, it just means probably 7,000 people made the same fucking mistake you're about to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we now think that Amazon is cheaper. Like, Amazon's not cheaper. Like, you should use it as like a Google tool, and then you go to that person's website, and it's always cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah.
Amazon just has it in a chokehold.
And the other thing is, too, if it's like anything that's like, you know, not you being like, I need a Brita filter or some shit. If it's like some other stuff, almost every website you go to, I think this happens every time you go to some retail website, it says, hey, man, you want 15% off your first order type shit. So you're already going to pay less than retail. So let it rip, you know. But I was going to say, the review that I love the most in terms of like, you know, what I get joy out of is the one where you can tell somebody just having a terrible day and they're taking it out on a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's so, that's another one. Like, the transparent lies are fun to read. And then the transparently like, oh, let me guess, you last minute planned this birthday dinner for your wife. And then when they fucked up and then she didn't like the vibe of it, now you decided to write a 5-page screed about how they lied to you.
Right. And like, the complaint doesn't fully make sense.
No.
Like, you can, there's like no actual complaint there. You're just like, wait. I love when they come back with the, when the organization comes back with the like super politeful, like
clap
just,
back.
Yeah, clapback. That's just like, hey, we actually remember you. It was so great serving you. And unfortunately, the thing you're talking about didn't happen. And what happened instead was that you showed up and all your credit cards got declined. And then,
you tried to start
a fight with somebody who was clearing your table. Yeah. So,
yes, exactly.
But we would love to continue to hear from you and continue this dialogue.
Yeah, because that's like the best way to neutralize it. Like, because I had a friend who's, you know, his partner was a business owner. And we're getting those Yelp comments like they were fucking fighting for their life. And I was like, that's a worse look. Like when you're like, actually, no, you were being fucking rude. And I don't want to fucking hear it. As a business owner, I deal with them like some just you could kill them with kindness, too, or just not.
Yeah, it does feel like you have a lot of time on your hands. Right. Yeah. The person leaving a review, like, waited in the front lobby for 3 hours. And they're like, excuse me. And they're like, that's what you were doing in the back while I waited in the lobby. You were writing reviews, responding to all these Yelp people.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I wasn't. Hold on. Here's video of me, of you asking why the appointment's late. You said, hold on, I have to finish this Yelp response.
What is something you think is underrated?
Google Flights. Google That's phones. All you need. You don't need Kayak. You don't
I'm
need
doing
Expedia.
It right now.
You don't Flights. Need. You can learn what the prices are going to be for like 9 months into the future. And you can just put a destination. You don't need to say from where to where. You don't need to say what. It just shows you all your options. And I've never found it cheaper somewhere else besides Google Flights.
Yeah, I tried
what
that.
Sorcery. Is this
fucking Google? They own all the info. They better have the best fucking flight comparison service. They have all the fucking data. Like, I would be pissed if Google couldn't do that shit.
But all the information I've been giving you in Gmail and
exactly.
You've been reading all my emails for 15 years. The least you can do is put it towards getting me good flights.
Yeah,
exactly right. You do want to put on private though, because if you put where you want to go, you will start getting ads for like
right. And sometimes some things they track, like if you've been on a site multiple times, they'll slightly bump the price up. I know with like a hotel listing to try and like coerce or catalyze you to be like, actually, yeah, I don't want to miss that deal.
I didn't hear you endorsing DuckDuckGo flights. Okay. So,
I stand by that. DuckDuckGo is shit.
Yeah. Good for your privacy. 100%. Terrible for getting your consumer goods. Unfortunately, that is their one point. But yeah, like the other cool thing too is you can just put where you want to fly out of and the dates, and it's like, here's what it's going to cost to go across the world this time period.
Yes.
And then you can really it really does feel like you're spinning a globe or being like, well, oh, okay, cool. I can go to Phoenix for $350. That's too much.
Yeah, and it'll show you, right? Like for a 7-day trip, here's every city by price. So if you just want to go on a trip for 7 days, they'll be like, oh, well, Miami will be $300, but Canada on this weekend is $200 or something like that.
I'm actually doing a search right now because we have a trip back east coming up that I need to get flights for.
You gotta do that right now.
Does not want me to. Yeah. Could you guys just hold on for a second? Right. Stop talking.
Oh, no,
Miles,
yeah, we're
stop
good,
talking.
We're good.
Stop talking.
Okay. Wait, why do I need? Just you do your thing. I can't talk while you search.
It does keep telling me that I want to go to the Philippines and not Philadelphia, which is nice of them.
But, you going to Manila?
maybe that's what we should do instead.
All right. Yeah.
So this is basically like what Kayak, but better. Like what Kayak used to be. Okay.
Correct.
Nice.
And you don't have to do all the pop-ups. I feel like those like sites take forever to load.
Yeah. I just love how pop-up. Jack is so sincerely engaged with this.
Hey,
like,
and
like,
I think it was meant sincerely.
And I'm like, yeah.
I'm into it.
I mean, I'm not trying to gatekeep this anymore. You know?
Right.
I'm letting it go to the world. I'm not afraid, you know?
Yeah.
I want to give people tools.
Yeah. Exactly. Please help that little alphabet company out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you may need to travel because things have changed where you're living.
Right.
So if you're looking for cheap flights,
just keep an eye out.
Flights.
Like II Captain.
There you go. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the news and I will taste Baja Gold.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And yeah, I think a lot of us were waiting to see like what the Democratic plan was going to be in the aftermath of, you know, Roe being overturned, as expected because of the leak. And it didn't seem like there was coherent like plan of
chaos.
Action.
It was chaos.
It just felt like chaos.
It was total chaos. Biden said, you know, just sort of gave a speech, strongly worded, but essentially saying like, you know, that the administration would prioritize access to contraception and abortion medications and allowing people to move freely to seek medical care. Pelosi, you know, as we touched on, read a poem and then said, this is bad. Y'all should vote in November. That wasn't very inspiring. So none of that felt very comforting. I mean, the closest thing to a plan was probably when like the draft opinion like leaked and that he was getting pressed by Democrats to be like, maybe you should do something through an executive order if we know this is coming. Maybe is that something? Not much of that happened. So things are a little more active, like on the state level, at least.
Right.
You know, there are Democratic the Democratic governors of California, Oregon, and Washington, they're launching what they call a West Coast of offense, essentially to protect access. And in that means that, like, as these three states that, you know, they are going to set up protections against states that are going to target medical professionals who provide abortions or people who are seeking them. It also says, like, we're not going to cooperate with any out-of-state police over this kind of shit. Like, miss us with that. We're not going to help you at all. And also, we'll not be extraditing people, especially if this is related to accessing legal reproductive health care. So, you know, there's also legal challenges, and all this kind of comes together with, I think, a lot of people still wondering, like, what can we do right now? Because that's also a very, I think, not often spoke about dimension of what's happening right now. I feel like when you turn on the news, everything's like, yeah, you know, we got to vote. Here are some legal challenges that are happening. But I feel like completely misses the human beings at this moment who are going to find themselves in a state that is going to restrict their access to, you know, reproductive care, and what their options are and what they might be experiencing. And everything seems to be like in this future world where no one might need any access to an abortion right now or in the next month or 2 months. Yeah, it's all kind of coming together with, I think, a lot of people scratching their heads while also beginning to coalesce around certain messages. But I think the most prominent one is about voting in November.
And the ultimate critique of the Democratic Party is that they were letting this hang out there. So they had it as a thing to get people to vote. I heard people being like, well, Pelosi in the House like encoded through abortion access like back in the fall. But like in terms of functionally doing that, like it's weird to me that like Manchin and Collins were both like, this is bullshit. But like nobody followed up and was like, all right, so I'm in your office right now. Let's like get some shit done. And instead it was just like they issued strongly worded statements. The president issued a strongly worded speech. Pelosi read a poem. But like it's all about like feeling pain and like getting people to vote in the future. And like that just seems so transparent to me. And I feel like people can't help but see that, right?
I think there's a part of me that, you know, on one hand, I have all this empathy for like education is so important to be able to understand the legal process and to have a critical eye and be able to think about the semantics. But I also know that that's like that education and access isn't available to everybody. But it's like, how much grace are we supposed to give, right? There's a certain point where you grow up and you have a responsibility to contribute to your community, have some awareness, have some respect for other people. I don't know. It all feels fake. Like we're living in a it's bullshit.
No, I've heard from people saying like, we need to inspire Democrats to action to not drag people down. And I feel like that is such a disingenuous take on the people who are being critical of leadership right now, because it's not about dragging people down. It's about, I'm merely observing what has happened. I'm looking at, you know, Democratic majorities that presidents have experienced in the past and failed to act on it because it was easier to do like this electoral gamesmanship shit and get people to vote and use that as like a way to chum the waters. And so I'm sorry that in these instances, my empathy doesn't go towards trying to understand people who will be wealthier than I ever could be and trying to figure out why they want to think it's okay to play with people's lives and have some weird long game view. Like, that's not where my heart goes out to people who are trying to live, who are waking up in a world where they have limited rights, you know, and that they could potentially die because of this fucking decision. And, you know, the voting solution is not instant, right? That means vote in November. That means wait for people to be sworn in next January. That means legislate. Even if shit happened at lightning speed, that's like a year away. That's like in the most charitable view, like that's a year away. And I think that's really fucked up to think of people who are considering what their options are for having a child, you know, how that affects people who might even be seeking like IVF and other treatments like that, because this has all kinds of like knock on effects to the people that are in the military who are on bases in states that have these trigger laws. And they don't know if they can speak to like a commanding officer because they might run afoul. Like, there's just so many people right now who are in a situation like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what are my options? And I just hate when, you know, we hear these things of like, you know, you just gotta be patient. Just be patient. And then we'll be able to get these things. But we're demanding better for ourselves. We're demanding that there's a minimum that is not being met at all. And that is, there is no patience for that. Go tell somebody who's fucking 18 and just graduated high school who's like, hey, man, I'm trying to get a Lambo. You know, I need a better job. Tell that motherfucker to have patience. Don't tell somebody who right now they're doing the equivalent of telling people who pulled up in an ER with life threatening injuries to be like, hey, you're gonna need some patience right now.
Right.
I don't know. And I think that's what is so mind bending and frustrating about this, is because we're talking about real shit that's going to have real effects on people's lives. disproportionately people of color and poor people. And the ball is being passed back. Like, yeah, man, just wait on that real quick.
Right. Well, we need from you.
Well, and as someone with a uterus, right, I cannot help but believe that Republicans don't truly care whether or not people have abortions, right? They know that we do, right? People without any money, BIPOC people, right? We care about having abortions until the Democrats prey on that. And Christian people without a lot of money care about people not having abortions. And Republicans know that and they prey on them to vote, right? Like, this is all about making their friends richer at the end of the day. And I think that they're using the ploy of, you know, a moral quote unquote issue as seen by the religious people and a human rights issue. I think they're playing chess with us, right? Like, here is this really important health issue and we're going to dangle that so that everybody can fight while we're still getting richer, right? Democratic representatives, senators, all those things, they get paid every year, no matter what decisions are made.
Right.
Right. And we're just kind of, it feels inaccessible, right? Their problems and what they care about are so different than the problem as they present it to us.
Yeah.
How can you access that? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Because I'm now so concerned about my rights that I can't have the time or capacity or space to really think about, right, which one of your friends are you getting richer by doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like things, I'm sure it's not the case, but it feels like the most things that got worse in a single, like, I don't know, 1-2 week period. Yeah, Miles, you said demanding better, and it is, things are getting significantly worse, and people are being told to be patient, and I keep
entitled, right? That's another word. People entitled. Yeah. You're entitled to, everyone's actually entitled to, you know, live a life free of these kinds of fucked up forces pushing their life in a certain direction. That's the only thing that we feel people are entitled to. And that language is fucking violent, and it's effective because you can constantly spin people's actual pursuit of progress, which benefits everyone at the end of the day, to make it just a very narrow issue.
Right. So, I mean, we have a pre-roll that we'll be running on this episode, our trending episodes, directing people to choice.crd.co. Donations for the number 4, abortion.com is another place that people can go, but...
Yeah, and those are important things just to realize too, because in all of this of, like, you know, dealing with the shock of, wow, we just went back 5 decades, like it was nothing.
Yeah,
and even further, and we have this judicial body that has now just become like this ideological runaway train. It's important to know, just to interact with these resources at the very least, because I think that's one thing that a lot of people are going to have trouble figuring out, is to A, know the situation that they're in, and B, also knowing what their options are too. So yeah, the choice.crd.co has, just no matter what state you're in, can very easily answer basic questions. And then if you have the ability to donate money to these funds, then donations for abortion.com is also a great place. But I think the biggest thing right now is to, most people need to be aware fully, because I think if you're listening to this show, you're probably more engaged than most people are, because this shit isn't, the show isn't fucking for everybody, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's important that people are also communicating into their immediate circles just how much of a fucking, like, what path we're on right now.
Right.
You know, electoralism aside, this is absolutely serious, and we're dealing with a group of people who, 6 people right now, they feel like they can, you know, basically create whatever reality they want at the moment.
Well, and I think if people want to get involved in their community, it's so important to, like, look to the people that have been doing this work for years, for decades, right? Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Also, more specifically, right, if you're a man, if you're a white cishet man, and you want to enter this fight and enter this space, by all means, please do. We need your voice. We need your representation. But you also need to focus on the people that are being most affected and help them uplift their own work, right? Not come in with this huge campaign about how you think that you can solve the problem. Because I think in some ways, like, these spaces are often super liberating and amazing. And then sometimes they can also reinforce some of the misogyny that they're trying to take down at the same time, right? So
for sure.
Be an activist, please, but be a responsible activist.
For sure.
Mm. By the way, Baja Gold is not good.
Shit. Classic segue.
It's bad. It pains me to say that, but it's, you know, I'm a big Baja Blast fan, but
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's not good. It's one of the worst Mountain Dew flavors I've had. It's still better than anything, like 90% of the things I've ever put in my mouth, but it doesn't live up to the Baja Blast title. I don't know why they would have given it that title.
So that's what you're going through right now.
Exactly. See?
We all have a demon.
Yeah, we all have things.
I'm glad you're not at like a, you know, some kind of rally being like, yo, we got to talk about Baja Blast real quick. You know there's about to be some people
Let me take over the mic.
Agendas. We're like, I'd like to get something in too. For people.
All right. Let's talk about this latest Supreme Court decision. It regards a football coach, a high school football coach for a public school, who basically came out and was like, he started praying by himself, but everybody was like, ooh, he seems to like it when we pray with him after the games. So then it became this big thing where he would like basically deliver a sermon at the end of football games, and his players, you know, would obviously feel pressured to like be there and be like the best Christian prayer at this public school. So people noted it to the school board. The school board was like, hey, could you not do that? And he turned it into, you know, every white Christian male's favorite thing, which is like a opportunity to be like, they hate us because we're Christian. And like the next game, he kneeled to pray and did his sermon, and all the news cameras were there, and the school
like
board
it was like, Elvis. Like if he's going to wiggle his hips and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And the school board was like, I mean, could you just like pray in the, I don't know, like by yourself somewhere? And he was like, you're like the Nazis, basically. And so they put him on leave, and that was the Supreme Court decision, was like he was being persecuted for his Christianity. And I don't know, it just, like reading the opinion, I just kept thinking of Brett Kavanaugh and how mad he was that he had to even like face questioning, like the whole narrative around him being like, what is this? I'm being attacked. I like to drink beer. You know, like just like the most inarticulate, dumb, but like full of righteous indignation display by a human that maybe I've ever seen. But that seems to be the game, is that they want to turn themselves as like one of the least oppressed groups of humans, maybe in the history of Earth, becoming less repressed with each Supreme Court decision. They like the one thing that they can't be in America is oppressed by the system, because they are the system. And the whole text and belief system is based on worshiping a person who was persecuted. And I just feel like it's never sat comfortably with them, like that they don't get to be turned into like the martyrs for being Christian. And I used to go to a public school that had like Fellowship of Christian Athlete things, where you had to like sit through the wildest, most like over the top, you're burning in hell if your soul is not saved by the Lord type shit. Like, and it was just everybody did it because you wanted to like be on the basketball team, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, there's also the Rudy story, which is
all this shit, right? Like, this is another, like, what happened to the fucking the establishment clause? You know, like most people point out, like, you have a public because this is a public school. So someone who's a public servant mixing religion, and that's becoming like what a governmental entanglement or whatever, like the laws, like, you know, the elements for the establishment clause to be met. But like, in looking at all of this, right now, on top of this the Roe decision, we're now also saying, you know what, theocracy is like actually the official, you know, now the official system of this country now, because church and state, we're not trying to separate them. It's church and state together. And I feel like every single moment the other thing that I guess that's frustrating as I look at all these things is that we're also being like batted around being told to respect these like ancient sheets of fucking paper, right? Whether it's the Bible or the Constitution. And those have somehow become these infallible fucking things where to lead your argument with that. The Constitution says, the Bible says, that has become just such a potent argument against fucking logic. That's another part that completely blows my mind, is that our deference to these things too is all like just continues this sort of like fucking trip up that we're experiencing judicially.
Well, I think what's funny about the coach situation is that let's say you remove religion and morality from it. It's concerning to me that a coach in charge of young, impressionable people can't understand the concept of coercion and persuasion, right? How, if you don't understand how a child would feel pressure to participate in a prayer that they don't want to participate in because you're an authority figure and you don't understand power dynamics, just the concept of it, you really should not be working with children. Even if you don't get that concept, right, that how coercion manifests in this like coach mentor relationship, oh, I'm sorry, babe, like you don't understand enough about human interaction to work with children.
And then to that, they would say, you know, they don't, for them, it's really not about coercion, right? Because for them, a kid's going to see a drag queen read a book at a library is coercion and grooming.
Oh, yeah.
They're so quick to use these concepts, but immediately it doesn't apply the other way. And I think that's why there was that Twitter thread from somebody saying like, this isn't like, to think of it as hypocrisy is completely wrong. Like you can't get a conservative like, well, what about this though? But that's coercion, but then this isn't. That's not the game. The game is, it's a theocracy straight up. We want to completely erase and disappear for like marginalized people that don't fit with our, you know, Christian worldview. That's all it is. But we'll use the words of the law because we can't just be out here saying, we don't think gay people should be around. We don't like this. We don't like that. There are too many brown people here. So we can use our ancient sheets of paper to sort of justify what these sort of aims are and use like these cases that are really just at the end of the day, arguing for the fact that Christianity is the number one religion. Fuck anything else you're saying, because I'm sure I'm curious if someone in protest would be like, okay, let me test that out. I'm Muslim and I work for the city. Where's the line for me now? Because if this is saying like, are we then going to begin to dial it in more and have to be specific? That's like, well, it's actually, you know, Christianity, but the other religions, you know, we're not really.
So we weren't talking to you, babe.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing, that like we're also looking at a lot of these decisions like, yo, this doesn't even make sense. It's like, well, yeah, it doesn't make sense to us because we wouldn't try and have these laws over people that gave them no options. Like in the same way that you could make an argument that says, you know what, I think Christianity's fucked up.
Right.
And I think it's been used to justify countless horrors since time immemorial. What I don't want, I don't think Bible should exist because I don't want that near my child. I don't want my child to even have the opportunity to engage with that, because that's how they look at these other things.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah. If your child's teacher is gay, he's going to be gay. Like the second your child walks into a room, if the teacher is gay, your 5-year-old's going to be sucking dick next week.
Right.
And like you're saying it doesn't make sense, right? Because their truth is that those papers, whether they be in a book or on the Constitution, are law. So even their methods of getting to those laws being upheld, it almost doesn't matter. Like if they kind of get there in a fucked up way, like at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do because it was moving towards making their paper's truth, right? So even if we did it in a shitty way, even if we did it unethically, it's ethical at the end of the day.
These ancient sheets of paper got my back, though. That's why. And I don't give a fuck everything else you're saying. And I think we do ourselves a disservice to continue to look at this group. Like, you know, we got two parties, right? We got the ones that are saying, like, fuck what you want. This is a theocracy. Also, we love capitalism. Then we have the other group that's like, we love capitalism. We also kind of know what's fair. But at the end of the day, it's money over everything. So it's like, which at the moment, it looks like the people who want to bring in the theocracy pose the largest threat to people's human rights, putting aside the financial economic oppression that we just generally experience under capitalism. But like now, to like even call this thing a political party, I think is just so far off base. And many people have been saying that for a long time. When you look at the kinds of things that these people read and the events they speak at, where you have people who are taking office like Secretary of State who are also believing in the end times.
Right.
You know, these aren't people who are actually looking at the world and like, okay, this is the history of this country. These are the forces at work. They're like, no. This shit needs to happen so it matches up with the ancient sheets of paper.
Sky Daddy got to come back. And so right. I just got to make it happen, whatever Sky Daddy says.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier this idea that it feels like a lot of the energy comes from the pain they see it causing us and the rest of the country. Like, it does feel like that is a big part. That is a lot of the fuel, is that this is grievance. This is them feeling like they've been disrespected in some way. And just, they don't really care as long as it causes outrage on, like, among the on the left, but also, you know, the Democratic Party. Like, that does seem to be 100%. The guiding principle right now. And
yeah,
but that is a dark path to travel, because that ultimately is about dehumanizing. And like, that somebody made the point that, like, man, when you read the like grooming and child molesting shit from like the QAnons of the world talking about the Democratic Party, you really start to realize that they want to kill a lot of people. And like that instinct to be like, whatever causes the most pain, like that leads to very like dark, historically horrifying places. And it does seem like that is the magnetic north of this movement right now. I mean, that's really it. It's just, it does seem to be headed in a very dark direction that I'm not sure. Like, there are two parts of the resistance that are like, so one part is like, well, we've lost, and like doing anything practical, like, fuck all that. And like, I understand the frustration. And then the center-ish movement is like, I don't know. I'm worried that the side, like the leftist movement, isn't taking the urge to actually kill people seriously enough, is like a thought that keeps coming up for me as I kind of worry about reality.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've heard people at like city council meetings like bring up execution and shit. Like, you're like, what the fuck? And then you have like some people are like, yeah, I'm on that. That is, I'll take that person at their word that is a world that they're trying to exist in.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not it gets to the plurality of people, that's like, I think that's really where we're at right now, trying to figure out which way this thing's going to go still. And I think it is tough because on one hand, like, the Democrats have completely botched their audition for having power.
Right.
And then on the other side of it, you've got literally these Christian murder terminators who are like, fuck what you heard. Like, there are no laws that can keep you safe if you're not on this team. And now you're finding, like, again, you're seeing it express itself in the voting polls, too. And this is like a thing that a lot of people are treating as like the one bright spot, like on like MSNBC, where it's like, you know, this is bad. But polling has swung 8 points in the Democrats' direction now. They were 3 underwater, and now they're up because of this. And yes, I get it, because suddenly a bunch of people became acutely aware of this existential threat. But then I'm like, for them to even talk about it as being like, well, here's a good thing for the right. for game of elections, rather than like actually, you know, I'm already going to take everything that that party is going to say with a grain of salt. But if they're at the very least able to articulate something that was like coherently a plan, they may do better than to just keep being like, you got to vote in November. And it sucks because it's so cynical, because we've seen them dangle so many other carrots in front of voters just to be like, yoink, that like you feel even like it feels even grosser in this situation, too, when you're like, man, they just literally just fucking took these rights away. Like, it was nothing.
I feel like their show of power to date has been hashtag thoughts and prayers. Right. Like, right. They talk about these issues and they put a lot of emotive language and make it all emotionally driven. And then it just is the biggest case of blue balls on the planet.
Mm. Right.
All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and there was a leaked Amazon memo that revealed some never-before-seen internal research from Amazon, and it basically says, hey, we're running out of people to exploit. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is a real problem for Amazon.
Yeah, it's a real problem for the company that employs countless people across the country. This memo that like Recode got their hands on, one of the sentences says this, quote, if we continue business as usual, interesting, Amazon will deplete the available labor supply in the U.S. network by 2024. That is such a fucking wild sentence. Like, we're going to run out of motherfuckers to exploit.
Wow.
In 2024, if at our current pace, now, like allow us to warn you about these, like what the things that can be done. This just from Rico, this says, quote, the report warned that Amazon's labor crisis was especially imminent in a few locales, with internal models showing that the company is expected to exhaust its entire available labor pool in the Phoenix, Arizona metro area by the end of 2021 and in the Inland Empire region of California, roughly 60 miles east of LA, by the end of 2022.
And this is at current levels.
Right.
It certainly makes you question, right? Why are they so invested in all of us having babies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. We talked about this yesterday about like, well, who does it benefit to have like forced birth? You have an inexhaustible supply of labor to exploit.
Exactly.
And, you know, a lot of people have talked about like the work of like that guy, Ben Wattenberg, in the book, The Birth Dearth, where, you know, there was like in within it talking about this, like, you know, this neoconservative guy, Ben Wattenberg, saying, hey, the biggest issue is the low amounts of white babies being born in this country, too, or else Jesus. There will be a demographic inversion if this isn't addressed. And that's another element of like, this is something that was told, like, this person was in the pretty upper echelons of our government and, you know, with near presidents and shit. So his ideas are getting out there. And that is something that you have to keep in the back of your mind, too, that there are people who look at that, who, you know, because there are many American people who have a fear of the brown America, that they look at this, too, and look at the statistics that, you know, the amount of white people having abortions is like more significant than, you know, people of color. So there it's easier for them to say, well, if we can knock that off, then maybe we can help the numbers. But immigration, too. So it's a little bit hard. Plus, you got the race mixing. That's like, there's so many of these like other ways like that these fucking ghouls look at how life works in such a different way, which is like, yo, we need to cut down on immigrants. We need more white babies. Also, we're running out of people to exploit, too. So it'll be good to have just more people in general. There it is.
Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Like, well, and the way that they look at the world, right, is just completely inaccessible to us.
Right.
Right.
Like I cannot empathize with that. I cannot put myself in your shoes. I don't know what that would be like. I can't connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
It also should put into perspective just how hard they're going to fight any sort of labor organizing movement.
Oh yeah.
Within
Amazon. They already are. I mean, yeah, there's stories every day about Starbucks and Amazon doing the fucking absolute most.
Right.
To try and stop it.
It's kind of a miracle it's gotten as far as it has, the labor movement.
Well, like, I think the difference is, right, the thing that these people who are at the levers of our economy don't realize is that people are experiencing lack at such an intense level, they can't just like brush it off like maybe they could 15 years ago and be like, I don't know, do we need to unionize? They're saying it could be bad if we do. Now people are like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, this is the only option to try and guarantee myself the kind of outcomes I need to live a life. And that kind of energy, you can't really bottle that shit up unless the only way you can stifle that is to give motherfuckers more money. That's really the only thing you can do. Like if you're trying to, you know, stem the flow of or rising unionizations, that's really the only thing you can do, because at the end of the day, that's what they're fighting for. So until you give them that, that fight's going to continue. But I just do want to say, like, with this, like with Amazon, they're kind of in this spot where like they don't know what to do about this issue, because each potential quote unquote fix has drawbacks from their perspective, right? Like they don't want to go full robot and go fully on automation, because then a lot of people are going to be like, you see what these companies are like, they're just there to take the human labor, then pivot to this other thing and leave people completely jobless so they can make profits. So like that's going to be a little bit of a PR nightmare. And then you start paying people more, they're like, well, you know, I don't know if we could start paying people more. That's like less in bonuses. That's less in other like frivolous projects the company might want to just throw money away on, like rocket ships and shit. And like in places like Phoenix, they were so desperate to keep people like at the warehouse despite the shitty conditions. The managers there were basically told by HR, they're like, hey, man, any of your write-ups that you normally write up for like being inefficient or like all that nasty draconian shit that goes on here, we're going to exempt them because we can't afford to fire people. So just so you know. And I think the thing that I'm trying to figure out is if this was written as like an alarm bell from people who work in there, just to be like, just so you know, like you can't keep doing this shit. Or is it truly like you know, that real Terminator mindset where they're like
right.
running out of bag holders by 2024. Like right.
this is
must change.
This is an Amazon internal document version of like humanitarianism.
right.
Like that's, but it's like so foreign and like devoid and like divorced from any sort of care for a human that like that they know their audience and they're like, well, the way to put this is actually by describing the humans who work for us as a depleting resource that will be fully depleted by 2024. Which is wild, but and also probably won't work. But you know, Jesus Christ, the robots thing is gonna. That's the direction they're gonna take it ultimately, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
A robot doesn't have. You don't have to consider a robot's fucking humanity,
right?
You know, and like that. That's all it is. It's like I just need a thing that will constantly churn out like activity for my revenue stream.
Yeah.
And these humans got this idea like they got rights and shit or like some shit about a living wage. Man, fuck that. Get these robots in here. That is the, they'd much rather do that. You know, and you already see it like in certain places. Like there's already like semi-automated McDonald's and shit. I can't, man, that shit is stupid, first of all. Like it's so confusing to use some fucking gigantic screen to order the simplest shit. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand it's cheaper to just have a thing plugged in than to pay someone fucking healthcare costs and shit. But yeah, there's just so much, like, I don't know, like we're constantly just seeing the inefficiency of like their constant pursuit of like maximum profit or to be like the largest employer in the world or whatever without realizing like how it, you know, you're just burning through people as you do it.
Right.
Oh no, they realize.
I mean, right. But now they're at a point where they're like, fuck though. Our workplace is so fucked up, we done burned through the whole fucking city.
Right.
And now, and that's what's funny, which is now it's almost like, holy shit, our shitty business practices, like it does actually, it's coming back around because now we've completely purged anybody who would want to even fucking work for us because they fucked off to another place. Now what do we do? And that's what's kind of like the weird, you know, sort of horrifying dimension of that memo.
Well, Hina, it's been truly a pleasure having you on.
It's been lovely. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yes. If you want to check out the company that I work with and for, and you're interested in creating kind of culturally grounded projects that elevate BIPOC voices, you can go to saltedlogic.com. You can follow me on any platform at Hina Rising. And then if you want to listen to me on a podcast, I'm reviving an old show that was like a passion project from the pandemic. And so that is the Upvote podcast.
Oh, nice.
Give it a subscribe.
Nice. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, there is a TikToker. It's called @GetHimOut. And she's basically relaying her horrifying surrogacy story over like 75 parts on TikTok. She like got pregnant for her friend who wanted a baby and then she made her life hell. It's @GetHimOut. It's like my TikTok reality fix at the moment.
Wow. Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Man, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram @MilesOfGray. Check out the other podcast, Mad Boosties, if you like basketball, 420 Day Fiance. Just trying to get lost in the trash with me. And also Lords of Soccer, which is a new show that I'm working on about the corruption at FIFA. Let's tweet. Just please look into like mutual aid groups and just do that. I couldn't even really look at Twitter the last couple of days, to be honest. And I would just much rather, you know, just figure out a way that you can contribute. Like Hina was saying, there are people who have been, you know, working on creating the infrastructure to support their communities. Help add your human power to those operations, because that will feel good and that will actually create livable outcomes for people.
Yeah, yeah. You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. Find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Let's go out on a track from LA native Kaja Bonet. Got a track called For You. And I just, it's just, I love it. It feels nice, just dreamy. It puts me in a good mood. And I think y'all will like it as well. Like, you know, very Kate Bushy, like on the vocals, if you like that, you know, upper register singing too. So there's a little bit of something that might resonate in your ear if you've been watching Stranger Things, like I think everybody on the internet has been. So this is Kaja Bonet with For You.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys, before we go, obviously we're talking about this during the podcast, but we want to talk about it here as well. While Americans overwhelmingly support the right of an individual to make their own decisions about abortion, unfortunately, that right is no longer protected everywhere in the U.S. The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade on June 24th.
Abortion is a basic health care need for the millions of people who can become pregnant, and everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions.
Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Even if you live in a state where abortion rights are upheld, access to safe medical procedures shouldn't be determined by location, and it shouldn't be the privilege of a small few.
You can help by donating to local abortion funds, and to find out where to donate for each state, visit donations4abortion.com. That's donations4abortion.com.
And if you or someone you know needs help, or if you want to get more involved, here are five resources. One, Shout Your Abortion is a campaign to normalize abortion. Two, Don't Ban Equality is a campaign for companies to take a stand against abortion restrictions. Three, abortion.cafe has information about where to find clinics. Four, plancpills.org provides early at-home abortion pills that you can keep in your medicine cabinet. And five, choice.crd.co has a collection of these resources and more.
We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.